Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go on a Friday. It's a Red Friday in KC. We're also an hour away from getting a little more clarity on particularly what countries could end up coming to Kansas City for the World Cup. Some of it. Not full clarity today, but it is draw day. It is World Cup draw day in Kansas City. Dusty's actually headed out to P&L. He's going to call back in around 11 or so, set the scene. There's kind of a watch party going on down at P&L today. We'll get his perspective. Also, in the 1 o'clock hour today, we're going to have Rob Britton, who's a big soccer fan, our boss Speck, who's a big soccer fan, Scott Parks, who's a big soccer fan, of course, Parks from Dana and Parks over at 98.1. We're going to have them all in for Fan Club Friday today, brought to you by Jay Rieger and Co. And so we'll talk some soccer, just what do we expect? What do they make of the early groups, et cetera? Cody and I do not claim to be soccer experts by any means, so we're going to bring in some people that follow it on a worldwide stage a little bit more than we do. I'm more excited for what it means for the city and what that month is going to be like in this town, and having obviously plenty of, you know, hundreds of thousands of international visitors to this city and what that means for our city on an international stage and everything like that is why I'm excited for it. And I do hope to try to go to one of the matches, but in terms of what draw everybody gets, look, we're all interested in what group USA is in, which we will carry that portion live when that is announced a little after 11. It will not be right at 11. Our understanding is Group D could be 10 minutes into the broadcast, could be later. We don't know. So just keep an eye on that. But we will talk a little soccer today because Kansas City hosting the World Cup in June and July.
As you mentioned, Group D is the U.S.'s one. The three groups that can come to Kansas City are J, E, and F.
Okay.
Because Tuesday, June 16th, is a Group J game. They'll get another one on June 27th. And then E and F will have a matchup here on June 20th and 25th. And then, of course, they'll have a knockout and a quarterfinal, as you know, on July 3rd and July 11th. So we'll look forward to that at 11 o'clock, get some sort of sense of who's in there. Plus, because there's, you have to remember, this is the first time in the World Cup that there's way more teams.
True.
So these groups are going to be watered down. The knockout stage is now round of 32.
Not as impressive
so quite
to get to.
A bit, yeah, not quite there. The same. That used to just kind of be the U.S.'s goal, so we'll see. We're going to do a warm weather or cold weather drinks today, by the way. So warmer drinks. It's going to be Rieger's Spiced Whiskey Cider.
Ooh, cider, okay.
Is the cocktail today for Fan Club.
I like that. When Rob's in studio, we'll have to ask him. There, of course, are already 2026 World Cup winner odds, too.
Okay, who's the favorite?
The favorite is Spain at plus 410, England 6-1, France 7-1. The U.S. is, let me scroll, 60-1.
Spain would be a cool team to have here because of Lamine Yamal.
Okay, yeah, awesome. He's like 19, isn't he, or something? And he's amazing.
He's just a kid.
Yeah, he's big time. His name has popped up in like the sport card market. His cards go for crazy, crazy money. So that's why I know that name. Crazy. But so we'll talk about it. Yeah, I hope we end up with whether it's Spain or Germany or Brazil, one of these other big countries. We're not going to get the U.S. We already know they're playing in L.A. and Seattle. And they were never going to have them in Kansas City.
Be cool if they did.
Yeah, well, would it be amazing?
And also the ticket prices would be insane.
And we'll talk about it more, as you said, at 11. But, you know, we'll find out eventually down the road, where is everybody going to be based? Remember, Rock Chalk Park in Lawrence is going to be a base camp. The Currents facility is going to be a base camp. And obviously Sporting Compass Mineral facility is going to be another base camp for one of these countries too. So we'll get into all that coming up a little bit later. It is an exciting day though for Kansas City and certainly for soccer fans across the world. But it is a Red Friday. The Chiefs have a massive game on Sunday night against the Houston Texans. You can hear it right here on 96.5 The Fan. Just don't give me your pick already, but what do you think the Chiefs, and for that matter the Texans, what's the plan here? What do you think they have to do to actually pull out a victory? For example, we've talked so much about this offensive line injury for Kansas City, three of them, not just one, three injuries, going up against Danielle Hunter, going up against Will Anderson. But what do you think the Chiefs are actually going to try to do offensively against the Texans? Because on one hand, and we'll play the audio later of Matt Nagy, he's talking about, hey, it's probably not going to be a pretty game. On one hand, maybe you would think, well, are they going to run the ball a lot more? Part of me is worried that they're just going to go and shotgun throughout the entire game and try
quick pass,
and Mahomes is going to throw the ball 40 times.
I would say that that's a bad plan. I'm not saying that that might not be the plan, but I'm telling you that that's not the way I'd handle it. And I'm not, you know, there's no good way to attack the Houston defense. So I'm not going to pretend like that's the case either. You want to know what my plan would be? Move the pocket. More than anything else,
yeah, we talked about that.
Mine would be getting Patrick Mahomes moving on purpose, because he throws better than most quarterbacks in the NFL on the run. Houston allows the fourth least amount of rushing yards, so it's not like you can just run it against him either. And I would try to find a way to get these long, sustained drives, and I'd be aggressive early to try to get a lead. As in, if it's fourth and one or fourth and two, I'm probably not just settling for points, even though I don't really respect Houston's offense. And I might try to the little bit of the short passing game coupled with Patrick Mahomes' movement. I would do more screens. I would use Breshard Smith so much more.
We've been saying it all year,
than
though,
I've been using Breshard Smith up to this point. If there's a game to unlock him, it is this one.
I don't disagree, but I think we are at a point where
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think we know how they're using him in 2025. I agree with you that. But it's just we said that back in week 7. Hey, they should start using him out of the backfield and more of the Jerick McKinnon role, and they just haven't done that all that much. I think if we agree that this is going to be, you know, an uglier game and all that, this is one of those games where even against that defensive front, if you're trying to protect your tackles that might be backup left tackle, backup right tackle, having a running game is so important. Not only rolling out with Mahomes, and they just don't do that all that often, but running the football, we've said this over and over. One of their most impressive wins of the year was the Colts game. And what did they do? They ran the ball, heck, 30 times with Kareem Hunt, for crying out loud. Pacheco's healthy. Kareem Hunt is healthy. While he might be worn out, he's healthy going into this game. Like, to me, this is a game where you're going to have to be able to run the football as well.
I think so. You're not going to have to. You can't abandon it. But I just don't anticipate them being successful at running the football all that often,
but
or
you
at least
can't
that frequently.
Like,
I know you can't just bail.
If the first quarter goes by and you run it four times and you only get 5 yards, you don't scrap it for the whole game. And sometimes I feel like that's what happens.
Well, and they've checked out so often. Patrick Mahomes checks to the passes a lot and the RPO stuff. This is the other part about it, where how they've run their normal offense versus how I'd want them to do it is, and this is why you might get what you said at first, which is 40 short passes. They can't have long developing plays. What do you think? Your offensive line's going to hold up on these delayed inside shotgun runs? That play's got and I'm not kidding, 0% chance of being successful against the Texans on Sunday. So these long, drawn-out, double flea flicker reverse, long run plays out of shotgun, no. Everything's got to be
double
much.
Flea flicker reverse.
Whatever, you know how it is. They've got to.
I haven't seen. Yeah, when have you seen that? I haven't seen that one all year, Cody.
Yeah, not that one this year. Just wait. It's coming.
If they run that on Sunday, I mean, that play's not even in Madden, I don't think, Cody.
I don't think so.
I don't even know that exists.
But so you
double flea flicker, what?
These long, drawn-out plays.
If you actually call that happening, we need to find a way for Nate to ask if you can get for 1 week. Let's say they... I know Chiefs fans don't want this. Let's say the game against the Raiders doesn't matter at the end of the year. They should let you assistant coach for that game.
Oh gosh.
If you call
a play and they run it and it works, by all means, Cody Tapp, assistant coach for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll give me my nod coming up. No, I just wonder, like, they run some long plays. Not every play in their playbook is long, but they have some that take time to develop. This is not the kind of team you want to play that takes time to develop. Those short passes, gold, those tunnel screens, those get it out to Rashee Rice, let him get 3-4 yards at a time. That's good for them. And in fairness, Kansas City's better than most teams in the NFL at taking 4 yards at a time, 5 yards at a time. That's not exactly not their strength. That's pretty much how they've been running their offense for 2 straight years. Like, they haven't been whipping it down the field every 5 seconds. So we'll see. I mean, and we'll talk about the offense maybe in particular a little bit later on. Matt Nagy didn't even sound optimistic they're going to be able to move the ball in this game, which seems concerning.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty ugly game.
And so, I don't know, man. I'm worried about it for the obvious reason. The defensive line should terrify us. I told you yesterday, I think it should be a bigger game for the defense. They're going to have to get pressure on C.J. Stroud and cause problems, and that's going to have to be a big key to the game. Blitz and pressure with four sometimes, and figure out a way to make C.J. Stroud uncomfortable or force a turnover. And they don't turn it over a lot. Texans are pretty good at protecting the football, and the Chiefs don't take it away a lot. So it's kind of hard to imagine that scenario.
This feels like a 21-20 type of game, man.
You just think it's going to be like, yeah, it does feel like a slugfest.
21-20, frustrating watch throughout, and truly, who doesn't make the mistake on the final drive? Basically, how I feel this game is going to go, and the Chiefs unfortunately have been the team making mistakes in the final moments of games here in 2025.
More often than their opponent has. The Colts is the one example of a game in which the Colts made more mistakes towards the end than the Chiefs did.
I mean, you say that, and Kareem Hunt fumbled a football on what looked like a dagger of a drive, you know?
I just felt like, you know, the Chiefs gave them every opportunity to win that game a million times in a row, and the Colts never took advantage of it. Chiefs just kept punting the ball back, kept giving them the ball back, fumbled it over, said, hey, you know, here you go. Here you go, Colts. Win the game. Go for it. And they couldn't do it a bunch of different times. And look, the Texans, they are playing better, and because we're watching them, this is part of the problem. We've seen them a couple times this year have some massive sack games. Like, right, we've seen them get to Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's the game everybody points to. We all watch that the Bills offense with a poor offensive line and some injuries on their line.
And they've won 4 games in a row, so they're hot.
Yeah, and it's been because of their defense.
Yeah, and by the way, the 4 games, I'll point out, pretty good opponents. They've won 4 games in a row, and they have beaten Jacksonville, currently a playoff team, leading the division. Buffalo, currently a playoff team, and Indianapolis, currently a playoff team. Tennessee was the only other one. But they play the exact same type of game. 16-13, 23-19, 2016. And hell, the Broncos were the loss before the 5-game winning streak, 18-15. They play the same games. They're all in the teens or low 20s. Chiefs are going to have to play that style of game. Like it or not, and I don't normally say you got to play your opponent's style. Like it or not, that's the game. Like, it might not be.
I mean, Matt Nagy saying it out loud to, you know, I think right there is pretty telling. They understand what kind of game this is going to be. This is not going to be an open field game. You know, that's just not what either team is going to present. I think the Chiefs defense can have some success, believe it or not, because I'm not impressed by the Texans offense. But we all know the Texans defense is going to make life very, very difficult for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs throughout Sunday night football, where I was looking. Tickets are pretty cheap for this game. One, I think it's going to be very cold Sunday night game. People work the next day. Also, I think people are down on a 6-6 football team. It's been a while since we've had that in this town. If you want to go to the game Sunday night, you can go fairly inexpensive by Chiefs football standards.
I mean, didn't you say it was like $70 downstairs, maybe?
You could have. A day ago, there were some lower levels for $70 on the secondary market with fees. I don't know if that's the case anymore. And I know, like, just to get in on a couple of the secondaries was $35.
Whew, not bad. I mean, again, you can't do a Chiefs game any cheaper than that. That's like a Royals ticket price for just like a regular season game when the team is still viable.
Right now, depending on where you look, one of the secondary sites with fees, $39 just for the, you know, the crappy seats, but just to get in the building.
Okay.
That's the Jordan Love seats.
Oh, yeah. Double Z.
Something like that.
I still can't believe his family sat there.
That was before he was the starter.
He's
so
a millionaire, and they're sitting him in double Z.
Yeah.
The top little corner there of Arrowhead. You could barely I think you'd get claustrophobic sitting in that. Or not claustrophobic. Vertigo sitting in that.
I couldn't do it.
You don't think you'd make it?
No.
White knuckle all the way up the railing just to sit?
Oh, man. Again, as a kid, this was not a problem. As a kid, my parents' season tickets were upstairs, section like 302, you know, 20-something rows up. Now those exact same seats, I can't sit there. And this is not like a me being spoiled thing. This is like, you guys know, you've been around me. I cannot do the height stuff. Can't do it. We were talking to our boss earlier this morning about that kind of stuff. So anyway, all right, coming up in 20 minutes, Josh Briscoe going to join us a little earlier today because of the World Cup draw happening at 11. So Briscoe, who will be hosting 3 hours pregame before Chiefs Texans Sunday night here on 96.5 The Fan and postgame, will get his perspective on what he thinks the Chiefs and the Texans have to do to get a win. Briefly, let's pivot back to Kansas State, though. The news throughout the week, we all know Chris Klieman retired earlier in the week. Colin Klein, it's now official. He is the next head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats.
Everybody's very for breaking that one.
Yeah. And everybody's very excited in Manhattan, obviously, to have Colin Klein back. He's going to be introduced today. What, a 4 o'clock press conference, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. He'll also speak at halftime of the K-State basketball game tomorrow there in Manhattan. So there's a lot of excitement. His flight lands actually in about 20 minutes or so there in Manhattan. So there'll be a welcome party there. The whole thing is all happening.
He'll talk at halftime of the basketball game, yep, tomorrow. Did you say that?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that
no,
one.
No accents either. It's just going to be a clean.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, you don't think he'll do like a weirdo?
I mean,
I don't know what the accent would be.
No, he's just going to be himself. He's not going to be weird like Brian Kelly. You know, he's going to be normal.
He's the only guy to actually do that, I feel like, in fairness.
And then you had reports suggesting that K-State may opt out of their bowl game. Now, it's been conflicting because there's some reports suggesting they already made a decision that players voted not to play in the bowl game. Then Brett McMurphy last night said K-State has not reached a final decision whether to participate in a bowl. K-State considering all its options. If K-State opts out, then all of a sudden you get like a 5-7 Rice team that gets in. If K-State opts out, the order of finish would be like, so Rice, Auburn, UCF would be the next teams that get in. If you're K-State, it's tricky with the portal. If players voted they don't want to play, well, then you're probably not going to
play. How are you going to put enough people together?
And Colin Klein is coaching A&M in the college football playoff. So unless Chris Kleiman's coaching in the bowl game, then you got already a couple players in the portal. I think there's a real chance they don't play in a bowl game.
I guess this is the biggest issue as far as it depends on to me if a player or I'm sorry, a administrator like Brent Yormark wants to get involved, because the thing that they don't factor in here is money. Teams get money for playing in these bowl games there and conference money. Yep. And it matters to these conferences that their teams get in these bowl games, get these checks, get college football playoff checks. It's how these conferences can stay where they are and stay viable where they are. So it's like, kind of need you to play. I don't know what to say. And for K-State, it's already a down year. You want a down year where you're 6-6, your coach quits, and you don't even play in a bowl game? That feels like you're backsliding in a big way. I feel like I'd want to stay as close as I could to where I want to be. And look, I don't think they're going to lose a ton of people having Colin Klein walk, but you lose people in the transfer portal no matter what. When you change coaches, then you're definitely going to lose people in the transfer portal. So do you have enough players to run a team, I guess?
I just think there's a chance that, while it's a bummer for fans, I think it helps with the transition not to play in the bowl game. As much as you want, maybe
you can just start the offseason.
Maybe you want Chris Klieman, you know, to get a chance to coach and have a celebration, you know, about his final game. But otherwise, I actually think for Colin Klein, while he's handling A&M stuff, trying to get his staff put together at K-State and all that, not having to worry about moving parts of what staff's helping coach in a bowl game and not helping coach in a bowl game and all that. I actually think for long term, as much as you like the extra practices for Klein, it might be better that they just don't play in a bowl game this year.
Yeah. I see that it makes sense, but they're already going to be behind the eight ball, because if they go on any kind of run at A&M, and they certainly can, then he's just out of the game for weeks anyway. And if you're just saying, hey, any of the staff that's remaining can just get on the ball and not worry about coaching a bowl game and instead worry about player retention and these other things, like, I'm going to need you guys work, because he needs his staff to be working while he can't work. And if you're saying eliminate the bowl game as a part of that, fine. I think this all comes down to Avery Johnson. Is Avery Johnson going to enter the portal? If they don't have a starting quarterback, then I think you're very inclined to not do this.
Yeah.
Got Avery Johnson, roll out a team in a bowl game, if it's the, I don't know, whatever the lowest.com bowl. They're 6-6. I'm not going to play in some big bowl game, but
yeah, it'll be a lower bowl game. But it there's a report out, I think, that Colin Klein's going to bring guys over from A&M to be part of his staff anyways. I think that you're already, if the plan originally was for Coach Klieman to coach the game, then you kind of just let it happen, and then you make the transition from there. Because to your point, Cody, let's say A&M gets to the semifinal. That's January 8th or 9th. There's no bowl games. All the bowl games are done by then. So he isn't going to have a full staff until A&M season is done anyways. Unless, I mean, if Avery Johnson enters it, they still got Barnett and other guys to play. Just because Quay Moss is in the portal now doesn't mean they don't have another safety. They got a roster with 85 people on it.
Yeah.
Like, they still can field a team.
I guess part of this is,
it's
like,
just a matter of, I think if Coach Klieman is not going to coach the bowl game, then you don't do it. But if the plan was for Klieman to coach the bowl game, then you play the bowl game. I don't think it matters that much.
If the report's true, and I don't know if it is, if the report's true that the players voted on it and said they don't want to play, well, then you don't play. I mean, if the players are saying they don't play, then you don't play.
I agree. If the vote was there and the players don't want to play, you can't just force them to do it, I guess.
I got to say, I'm a little surprised, though.
I am surprised that they voted not to.
If that's true,
I am as well.
Because Klieman, he's not like leaving for a different job. He's not, you know, like, I think there's like kind of a difference in that gold. He's not leaving for another job. He's not ditching you guys. He's done with it. Like, he's done with it. He's at an emotional end. And if you're at an emotional end, I would think as a player, you'd want to be like, yeah, we'll see it through with you, Klieman. You want to coach one more game? We got you. We'll get in the bowl.
Especially
game.
For like the seniors. This might be your last game. Why would you not maybe go give it one more ride? And, you know,
I was a senior, I would want to play. Yeah.
If you're going to the draft, I think that also is part of the equation of, let me put, it's another potential game for me to put something on tape. And I know that sounds crazy to me, but like, if you're a player that is, you know, that you're going to go to the draft, why not just give it one more ride and
see? I'm the reverse. I'm the opposite on that one. To me, if I'm going to the draft, I don't want to play in the bowl game. I want to start focusing on my combine.
I
want to
start my draft pre-draft work, because the draft, and they all say this, is a completely different monster that doesn't even teach them the actual football skills. They just go out there and learn how to run a 40 and a shuttle drill. And
I mean,
all that
that's in April.
I know, but they train early.
Dude, they go to the Senior Bowl. You know,
if you get invited to the Senior Bowl, you play in the Senior Bowl. But if we're just talking about a player that's not going to have that opportunity, playing in a meaningless bowl game in December, where a bunch of players have already opted out, is not going to really change much of your draft stock. You go, a lot of these guys, they sign with an agent, they send them out to Arizona for these training facilities, and they literally just train for the combine. They're not even training for football. They're training to put up the best numbers at the combine, and then they never do any of that stuff ever again.
No. And again, if they voted against it, then there's nothing you can do. But if I were a player, I think I'd want to see it through with Klieman specifically. But if I'm a conference, I also would just be like, I'd like you to
complicated with the NIL stuff. Cause I'm sure if you're saying, wait a second, so they're opting out of a bowl game, but if they're getting, you know, this is where it's tricky.
They're a paid employee
You're paid. So what do you mean you're opting out of it? What do you mean you're opting out of playing in the bowl game? You don't want to play. Our school is going to get some money from it. That's where it gets really tricky.
It'd be like opting out of being this, you know, like, it's not a 7-seed, but it'd be like opting out of playing week 17. If you're a team who's not going to be in the playoffs in the NFL, and you're like, well, I don't want to play. You're like, well, you're under contract, so you're asked to go out on the field and play if we tell you to play. Like, at some point, this goes back to yesterday's conversation where there's still a weird power dynamic in the sport where players still have the option to say, I can leave whenever I want. I can do whatever I want, essentially, under any regard. And there's not much you can do about it. Still, we can just say, we don't want to play in the bowl game. But it's got to start factoring. It's got to be even more of a business for the player eventually, where the teams do need to have some control. Say, no, we play in bowl games. We're 6-6. Well, we got invited to a bowl game. We're taking the check, and we need those kinds of checks to keep paying players like you.
Guys, and this is also, you know, like, okay, I'll use Missouri State as the example because we know what bowl they're playing in. They're playing in the Xbox Bowl. Traditionally, all the teams that play would get an Xbox. That's part of the thing. You'd get a little gift bag from Xbox, whatever. Instead, why not, like, the all the NIL stuff? Every bowl should have NIL money that they give to the players who play, plain and simple. I think that makes it, there's an incentive to play. We will write you a check for literally just playing the game, an NIL check. This is yours. You get to have it all. It's not a problem. You just have to play in the game. I think that
it's happening in college basketball with these preseason tournaments. KU was just in that Players Era Festival, and remember, each team got $1 million.
Yeah, you need to be in the same thing with the NIT
or whatever tournament it was, to incentivize
the players. Hey, play in this bowl game. We're giving you NIL money. I think, like, for these companies that run these bowl games, they've got the money and the funds to be able to provide something to the players. That's where we're at. I mean, they get paid to do the video game. Why can't they get paid to play in the extra bowl game from whoever, whether it's Xbox or whether it's Duke's Mayo or whatever the case is?
Can you confirm, are they getting an Xbox? Are they doing that?
I have no idea if they're getting an Xbox or not, but most states
play
Arkansas State.
I'll go out there and take a handoff, Gold.
That game used to be the Bahamas Bowl, too.
Absolutely obliterated.
That game was the Bowamas
Bowl.
Turned into the Xbox Bowl in Frisco.
These kids would have got a free trip to the Bahamas instead.
And an Xbox instead of Frisco?
Yeah.
That stinks.
Yeah, compared to the Bahamas, definitely.
That's kind of a real letdown. I'm sorry if you're from Frisco and you're like, what the hell? But come on, let's be honest here. It's like, the very least.
Oh, the answer's obvious. The Bahamas or Frisco, Texas, please.
I don't even know which part of Texas Frisco's in, but I'm going to guess the middle.
Near Dallas. That's where the Cowboys facility is. It's like it's outside
Frisco
of Dallas.
Frisco Rough Riders, Cody, the minor league team, right?
That's where the Cowboys' beautiful practice facility and stuff is in Frisco. That area's growing like crazy. That's where like the Big 12 has done some of their media days there for football at that facility as well.
I still got to hope that Kansas City keeps maintaining all this Big 12 stuff for all these years. I'm always terrified.
Well, basketball tournament's locked up for... signed an extension.
They did. And I'm really thankful because I think your Mark's initial instinct was... and get the hell out of Kansas City. Like that, I genuinely think that that was his instinct. And then he saw the Big 12 tournament compared to every other conference tournament in the country. And he's like, man, damn, they do a pretty good job. And they have good attendance. And it's an actual event in this town that people care about. He's like, okay, fine. It can stay.
Yeah, it's not some secondary thing. In Vegas, there's 17 other things going on at the same time. You know?
Yeah, it's not a thing. It's not like it doesn't take, it just doesn't feel like it captures a city. Kansas City is just better at stuff like that, which is exactly why I'm excited coming up at 11 o'clock when we'll find out who some of the teams are that could come to Kansas City as a part of those group stages and where the U.S. or who the U.S. is in their group.
We'll also, coming up at 11, Cody will give us his official list, the only countries he's allowing to stay at his house for Airbnb. He said he's narrowed it down. There's only five.
From 48 to five.
Yeah, there's only five countries he will rent out his house to. Yeah,
I just realized, based on my daughter's dance schedule, I'm going to be out of town anyway for part of it.
Well, if you're already gone, you might as well make some money.
Like, I'm going to be out of town.
Pay for her dance trip with the Airbnb.
So
take care of all the finances for that. Anyway, up next, let's talk some Chiefs football. Josh Briscoe, he's going to be on pregame, of course, as he is each and every game, 3 hours before kickoff. I want to ask him about the injury questions for the Chiefs heading in, and what does he make of the Texans' offensive weapons compared to what we've seen from the Chiefs, knowing what happened last week against Dallas. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold. All right, just getting started on a Red Friday. We are 30 minutes away from FIFA World Cup 2026 draw coming out. We'll find out the group that USA is in, what countries are with them, and get a little bit of insight on potentially the countries that are coming to Kansas City as well. We'll carry some of that live coming up a little after 11 o'clock. We'll also go out to P&L, check in with Dusty. He left from his show. He's headed out there right now, and he'll set the scene a little bit at P&L, which is where there's a watch party. The actual draw is happening at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. But let's talk a little Chiefs football. Josh Briscoe will be on 3 hours before Sunday Night Football kickoff with the Chiefs and the Texans here on 96.5 The Fan, and of course on postgame as well. Josh, when you look at this Texans team, I think the feeling about them is way different now than about a month ago. I mean, this defense has been good, but they're just getting way more love because, well, they're simply winning football games.
And they were able to win football games without their starting quarterback. They won all three of the Davis Mills starts. And so I really do think that is deserving of the love that they've been getting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. and then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
And I know we'll get into the specifics of it, but just as this week has gone on, I think this is the most I've ever spent time-wise in a game leading up this year, just purely talking about the trenches on both sides of the ball for both teams. It really feels like that's going to be where this game comes down to, and obviously the Texans have the advantage with the best unit of any of them right now, the Texans pass rush, and that's just at the front of a really excellent defense. So yeah, they are both a kind of incredible story of this season, and a really frustrating one from the Chiefs' perspective, because you've seen how one elite unit has kept them afloat.
I'll allow you to tell me if I'm wrong. I'm assuming you do not love a plan that would have Wanya Morris at left tackle?
I don't understand a plan that would have Wanya Morris at left tackle. Like, if Jalen Moore was a pure right tackle and you just have to, like, you know, even with, like, Juwan Taylor, if Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons were both hurt and Wanya Morris played left tackle instead of flipping Juwan to right to left, then I would understand how he got there. But we've seen Jalen Moore predominantly play left tackle in the NFL, play a lot of left tackle for you this year, and it seems like Wanya Morris's best reps have been on the right side. So I don't know if that's Texans related. I don't know if that's Mike Caliendo related. It's very strange though. I mean, I just like literally didn't even think about it after the injuries. Of course, that's how they ended the lineup in Dallas, but that was just the order guys got hurt in. Jalen Moore is your first man up, so he goes in first at the right side. I just assumed that as soon as that game went final, I was like, well, if Simmons is out for a while, if Juwan Taylor's out for a while, it'll just be Jalen at left and Wanya at right. I didn't even consider that that would be a possible plan that they would have. So really odd to me.
Any chance he just misspoke?
No, I don't. I mean, right? I don't know. I mean, I think Nate, I don't know if Nate told you guys, or maybe Nate was on with the morning guys, but I like throwing out, like, maybe we're in, like, smokescreen territory. And when we're in, like, smokescreen territory, you know,
we're
going
to try to tickle your tonsils.
Not a tonsil tickling lineup decision. And look, here's the thing. Like, honestly, with both edges that the Texans have, it's probably not going to make or break the game. Like, if Wanya Morris has a bad day on the left, he was probably going to have a bad day on the right, vice versa. But I just, it just caught me completely off guard in a way that personnel decisions rarely do.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. The Chiefs' run game, look, Pacheco's healthy. Kareem Hunt's healthy. Obviously, he might be a little worn out, but he's healthy at this point in time. Do you think Kansas City against this Texans front, as much as we talk about the pass rush, do you think they can run on the Texans at all?
I think they can run some. I don't know if I would bet on them being able to run terribly efficiently. But you don't have to necessarily be explosive. You just have to be effective enough. So if you told me that it's going to like the Colts game plan, I'd be totally fine with that. I think it's worth a shot. Have to have... What happened there? Did I lose you?
You're back. Oh.
Recently. I'm back again. Yeah. I don't know what's going on here. My phone made a noise, and it's on do not disturb and everything. You'd think I'd have this figured out by now. I'll blame one of my diabetes apps, so you can't get mad at me for interrupting me. Which actually, I think is actually what happened, by the way. Anyway, they
you need some Gatorade. Is that telling you need some Gatorade?
No, if anything, I should have had less toast for breakfast, and that's for me and my fake pancreas to figure out.
When you look at what this game matchups, we've got to look at like where we think they can take advantage. You mentioned the trenches. How do you think they'll handle offensively? Gold mentioned maybe the possibility of 40 short passes. I said anything that isn't long developing should be erased from the, or is long developing should be erased from the playbook. How do you think they'll actually try to attack the Texans defense?
I mean, the kind of frustrating part is that they have to do different things. Like, it has to be a variety. It can't just be run the ball 50 times, run 40 quick slants, never take a deep shot. I think Mahomes said this on Wednesday, but, like, when they do have the deep shot, it's even more valuable than it is in other games because the opportunities are going to be even further and farther between. So I think you probably want to be able to, as I was going to say before my phone so rudely interrupted me, that you want to be able to make some things easier for Patrick Mahomes. It can't always be in the pocket, keep an eye on all of that pressure, take a huge hit and throw the ball just a nanosecond before they would be able to change the orbit of your throw. It can't be all Mahomes Superman stuff. He's going to have some Superman plays. That's how this team has functioned for years. But there has to be a combination of here's what the run game looks like, here's what the short passing game looks like. I'd really love to tell you that, like, oh, maybe this is the Breshard Smith screen game, but we've been talking about that for like 8 weeks.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to predict that. That's kind of the bummer underlying it all right now, is that I do think there's probably some stuff they could do to make this a little bit easier on the offense, but it's stuff we've been talking about since before the bye week, and they haven't been able to do any of that very consistently. So I would love to see some new wrinkles on Sunday night, but I would feel a little bit foolish telling you, like, no, December 5th, that's when they decided that they're going to try something different. So I think it's probably going to be the same kind of bucket of offensive stuff that's gotten them here, and then you just try to make it harder for that Texans pass rush to derail a play. And it's disappointing to think about it this way because Patrick Mahomes is so good on the second play within a play, right? Just with the extension, the playmaking, getting out in space and making something happen. Maybe you can manufacture some of that with some moving pockets. Maybe it's just a game where you do get Mahomes out and let him run some bootlegs. But again, I'd love to see some under center play action. And I've been saying that since it was much warmer outside.
I know we're all very down on the defense and the lack of a pass rush, but this Texans offense, what are they really capable of in this particular matchup? This is not the Cowboys offense the Chiefs just faced, where you've got playmakers all over the field and a quarterback playing at a high level. Stroud hasn't been all that good this year. Nico Collins is pretty darn good, but after that, I'm really not worried about their weapons.
Yeah, I think Nico Collins is like a legitimate number one receiver who I do actually believe in that way. But beyond that, it has been a weird year for Stroud. I think they have a functional running game, but certainly not one that you're excited about. And if you look at the scope of the offensive line altogether, this would be an awesome opportunity for the Chiefs pass rush to make a struggling O-line look like a struggling O-line. But again, stop me if that sounds familiar, because we've done that many, many times before too.
It's just like, that's the problem, is that you run into, we have seen this story and it's been told before, but also, like, I understand there is still part of me that deep down still thinks it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, they'll find some random way, but I don't know, it's finding it five times in a row, Briscoe, that I worry is not possible.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to do my best for myself to not think that way, because, like, we gotta do every day of content, every week of shows, every week of pre and post game, because I understand that completely. The idea that they're gonna do this five times in a row and then another time or two into the postseason to try to make something special happen. Even with that being said, to your exact point, the idea of having a little bit of that, like, Chiefs mysticism remaining, that belief in the Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Trash Jones, Steve Spagnuolo, when it gets gets to December, they find their best stuff. But usually there's a little bit of wiggle room, a little bit of a margin for error. And right now there's just obviously none. And it's not like there's been incredible process with frustrating results. Like there have been frustrating games all the way through. There are real weaknesses that we've talked about. So they're going to have to overcome those. And I know this is real coach speak for you, but they literally have to do it one game at a time. They can't be thinking about the Chargers next week, because if they lose on Sunday night, next week against the Chargers, probably doesn't matter anymore. The season's pretty much on ice at that point. So it's a difficult place to be.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. I don't know about if you agree. I'm not saying it's going to be high scoring by any means like we saw last night, but the way the Lions played, they were desperate, but at home, and the crowd was behind them. They were flying around early. They had more energy than the Cowboys. Like, I feel like that could very much be the Chiefs on Sunday night, what the Lions were able to do early on in that football game.
It almost has to be, right? And again, I think that there's a little bit of a leg to stand on with the fact that they've been so much worse on the road this year than they've been at Arrowhead. So hopefully that maybe that's the energy reserve or whatever it's been that's had them struggling this year, again, on the road in a way that's like even more egregious than it makes sense. It's very strange. And they've also, I guess, just, you know, had some games at home that they've been able to take advantage of. But they almost have to come out with that kind of energy. And man, that Cowboys-Lions game is like a crazy kaleidoscope to look through, remembering what was happening a week ago at this time and trying to piece together who this team is lined up against the rest of the NFL. I'm another thing I'm just like trying not to do, because if I go, well, the Chiefs looked kind of crummy against this team in this way and the offense couldn't get anything going, and then the Lions put up 44 points, it's like, well, it's going to make us all go absolutely crazy by the end of it. So they have to have that kind of energy and that kind of desperation that says, hey, all right, we're going to either go out and we're going to see our season come to kind of a whimpering end at home in front of the home crowd, or we're going to inject some adrenaline into the rest of this season and try to make something special happen. I do think that's a reasonable bet. Right now, I am leaning still that the Chiefs do actually win this game because of whatever combination of any given Sunday and Chiefs vibes and having it at home at Arrowhead. I really do believe that the best version of this Chiefs team could make an actual playoff run. I just don't think we've seen the best version of this Chiefs team, certainly not 5 to 8 games in a row. Right. I'm not really sure we've seen the best version of this Chiefs team 3 games in a row. And so that's the thing that, again, you can't get too far down the line. I am very much open to the Chiefs winning this game at home on Sunday night and setting us up for an interesting next couple of weeks. But you have to handle business in your first game first.
I've been polling in the room, I feel like, all week, and because I was trying to decide if I was on my own or if we all just kind of agree or where it's a split decision. I think Patrick Mahomes is playing his best football in years. As in, it's been multiple years since I thought he had played this consistent and this well. I know when they're 6-6, nobody wants to hear it. What have you made of Patrick Mahomes play this year compared to last year, year before, whatever? What version of Mahomes do you think we're getting?
If they were 9-3, he'd be in the MVP conversation. I don't even have a doubt about that. And sometimes it's self-inflicted stuff from his own pass catcher. Sometimes it's the defense letting him down. But I absolutely think that if we were seeing all of these numbers and this version of Patrick Mahomes after what we saw last year in this offense, where they were winning games, but a lot of the counting stats were bad and a lot of the underlying stats were bad, this year, you really are seeing Mahomes do some of those vintage Mahomes kind of things that has made him so special his entire time here. So I do agree with that. I don't know, again, you can pick whatever stretch of your best 3 games or how many years has it been, whatever. We are getting a very high level of quarterbacking from Patrick Mahomes, and then he's had a couple of big mistakes that are rare and strange to see, but you have one of those every few weeks and you can survive on that. We just saw Matthew Stafford have one of those last week. But no, I really do think we are getting like MVP caliber play from Mahomes, and it hasn't added up to even a playoff team right now, which is crazy. I mean, if you had told me before the season the Chiefs were going to be 6-6 beginning December, I would have asked you what week Mahomes got hurt in. To be here now with him playing that well is a pretty frustrating way for the season to have gone.
For people who don't know, he's 5th currently in the NFL in passing touchdowns. He is 3rd in overall touchdowns and 2nd in yards per game. He's technically ranks 5th in total yards, but like Dak Prescott's played an additional game or whatever. So, no, I just like, I watch him play, and that's the thing that maybe gives me hope. I watch him play, and I'm like, he's playing at a high level, although he's been like the rest of the team, Briscoe, in that his few mistakes this season have come at the worst, most inopportune times.
Right. And I think to some extent, some of those moments have felt to me a little bit like some of those losing Super Bowls or even just the rare playoff loss of like, yeah, you see, he starts to see the sand going through the hourglass and thinks, okay, well, if somebody's going to make a play, I'm that somebody. This is on me to kind of press a little bit and make this happen. But to be in a situation this year where they have had so many of those high leverage moments and so many of those flip a coin, who's going to win or lose this game situations, having a couple of those mistakes in those terrible moments, I understand why people might look around and go, what do you mean he's having an MVP caliber year? I remember the pick he threw. I remember this mistake. I remember this deep shot miss. It has not been a perfect season for Patrick Mahomes, but in a lot of other years, again, I think he'd be quarterbacking the one seed and locking up MVP votes as we speak.
Josh, it's a loaded NFL slate. We know the implications in Kansas City with the Texans game, but you've got a Steelers team taking on the Ravens, AFC North showdown. You know, you have Chicago and Green Bay. Elsewhere on the AFC side, you've got the Colts and Jags. What's the game that has your attention? And I think we're all rooting for Jacksonville at this point, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the lead one. Steelers-Ravens is really interesting, but it seems relatively clear at this point that only one of those teams is going to end up making the playoffs out of that division anyway. So yeah, I'm going to be painting myself in polka dots and I guess doing my Jackson DeVille impression. Duval County, baby, as I've always said, I believe. As I've said a million times, I'm sure I'm on record everywhere in history. Boy, do I believe in those Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, I've never doubted Trevor Lawrence even once. Was that believable? Did you guys believe me?
Yeah. Duval.
Made me think of Manny, you know, from The Good Place. I'm so convinced now.
Bortles!
You're a Jags fan. I couldn't believe it. Who knew this whole time? I mean, at this point, Kansas City has to win all their games, and I think they'd be in the playoffs anyway. So, like, I don't need to root against everybody every week. I feel like if they just took care of business, someone will screw up.
Yeah, I enjoy rooting against the Broncos every week, but that's just habit.
Yeah. Briscoe, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening on Sunday, 3 hours before kickoff.
Thanks, fellas. I'm going to have to go buy some body paint.
There you go.
Get some sugar.
That's Josh Briscoe. He joins us each and every Friday, and we'll be hosting pre and post for the Chiefs Radio Network on Sunday night. We are about 15 minutes away from the start of the 2026 FIFA World Cup draw. Again, the live event's going on in the nation's capital. We will take some of the live coverage once they get to Group D, which is the group that USA is going to be in. So we'll find out what other countries are with them. We'll talk a little bit more about how that's all going to set up and obviously the implications for Kansas City as well. And then in the 1 o'clock hour today, we'll get a little more specific with some folks around the office that certainly follow soccer on an international stage quite a bit. That's Rob Brenton. That's Steven Spector. That's Scott Parks from our sister station. And so we'll ask them. I also saw, and we can discuss this coming up in 10 minutes or so, but Alexi Lalas was giving out the countries he says the U.S. wants to avoid in their group. And so we'll get into that coming up in just a bit. Meanwhile, on Sunday, there's at least two of the locals that are very intrigued by a basketball game that's happening in downtown Kansas City. That is, of course, the Border War, Missouri, Kansas, Sunday. Both teams coming off losses. KU lost to UConn at home. Missouri lost on the road in South Bend, Indiana, against Notre Dame. Kansas, it's still the million-dollar question whether or not Darren Peterson is going to play.
Crickets.
We've got over and over with this. I have no clue, Cody, if he's playing or not. But I do know that building, the last time they played there, you know, there was the charity game and everything. This could be an awesome atmosphere at T-Mobile, and the tickets aren't cheap for this thing. I was looking because we've talked about going. And this is
it cheaper to get into the Chiefs game?
Yes.
Ooh.
Now you also have 70,000.
I know.
19,000 seats compared to 70,000 seats. You know,
slightly different. T-Mobile's gonna be rocking.
It is absolutely gonna be rocking.
And what's the thing that this rivalry? We talked about this. The rivalry, it went on ice for a little bit, so I don't think it had the same juice as it did before. They're not in the same conference, right? So like some of the steam had been really taken out of it. Anytime the other team upsets the other, little more juice back. When Missouri decided to like every Missouri fan you've ever met had this swaggiest attitude after Missouri beat Kansas last year. So they're feeling they got the bragging rights. They feel like talking trash. They feel good about it a little bit. If Kansas comes back and wins this game on Sunday, now they've both won one in a given year, this time on a neutral site. I think that like to get the energy back in this rivalry, they got to play every year. The game's got to be close. Honestly, controversial moments, whatever. that can add to it. So I am interested to watch it, but I also am less interested if Darren Peterson doesn't
For sure. Play. Yeah. So. I mean, if you want to see the best play and be available and hopefully is, you're right, though, about the rivalry where it's at. I mean, I'll speak just from the Kansas side as a Kansas alum. Like, Kansas hasn't beat a rival in a while, man. It's been a bit.
Kansas State, Missouri, it's
been a little bit. And I know people are fed up with that. And so I don't care whether Peterson plays or not on Sunday in terms of that. Like, Kansas has to beat a rival. It has been far too long, for them to do that, including football, as we all know. We're probably gonna have to wait till later today and tomorrow to find out about the Darren Peterson news. But I told Rob this as well when we were talking a month or two ago. He's asking if I was going. I know the Chiefs are playing Sunday Night Football. I can't stand that this game is Sunday at noon. That is awful. It's because of TV, I think. But it's
awful.
It must be,
but like sometimes I feel like TV just doesn't understand. Why are you competing against the NFL?
College basketball
does this.
What
the hell are you competing against? A really good noon NFL slate. What the hell are you trying to do going up against that?
I mean, I think college basketball just does this, though. Like, just the way that they always put some prime games on ESPN on Sundays. Saturday, you obviously have the CBS stuff, but it is weird that I don't know what's on ESPN.
It's because of college football championship weekend on Saturday.
I think that also is the main thing. But the fact that they buried it on ESPN2 also is kind of odd. Like, why wouldn't you put that on big ESPN, if you will, instead of ESPN2? I don't know what's on there.
I don't know for sure. My speculation is there's going to be NFL pregame most of the morning, and then also, you tell me if I'm the CFP rankings, they're going to have coverage all day long promoting that.
I think you're actually right about that. Duh, that makes sense. I think
the CFP rankings come out at noon, don't they?
Yeah,
or 11.
I think it's...
That's what it is.
I think it's on both ABC and ESPN, or maybe the ESPN bleeds into what would be the noon time. So yeah, that actually makes
sense.
I think
it's the college football playoff rankings.
It is nice too. So Missouri's getting votes. KU is top 25. It helps when both teams are good and not Missouri was 0-18 or whatever it was in conference play 2 years ago. Like, it helps that both teams are very good, of course, as well.
That loss, though, you want to talk about Missouri blowing against it. That's their first loss of the season.
Right. They were
8-0. They've been a very functional.
They were in the top 20. Yeah.
Kansas is an interesting bunch because they have losses, but they're without Darren Peterson. One was early in the season. So Kansas feels like a team that could evolve into a national championship contender, but certainly isn't there yet. It's a big matchup, and I think both teams want the bragging rights. And you're right, in the matchups, in the rivalry games that Kansas cares about, so Kansas beat Kansas State in basketball, but they keep losing to Kansas State in football for year after year after year after year. They've been losing to Missouri when they face them in football or basketball. It does feel like Kansas is... Yeah. Running out of rivalry games. I get that.
I think I speak for every Kansas fan at this point. Time to beat a rival again. Someone was asking about the game being on antenna. That's why. No, it's on ESPN, too. It is only on cable. So it's not because they're getting a wide audience. It's absolutely because it's college football championship weekend and the CFP. And that I understand it, but still, it's just unfortunate that for those that want to go to the game, I should say, yes, you can technically do both, but it just takes your whole Sunday now. If you're planning, and I know there are people who are listening.
Hell of a sports Sunday. Go to
T-Mobile, KUMU, and then go right to Arrowhead after. I know there's people doing that. I've considered it, but I don't know if I'm gonna.
Come on, man. Live like you're 24 again. Yeah. Get your ass out to an MU-KU game, and then go straight out to Arrowhead.
I want to watch NFL games. There's some great games.
I know, but it's your alma mater. You're wearing your KU gear today.
Yeah.
You're rocking. You know, you're supporting the squad.
I'd rather the game be at 10 a.m. than noon.
Would you be more likely to go if it was a 10?
I would, because then I could not miss any NFL games.
Maybe a half or a quarter. Yeah, certainly not.
I know the atmosphere is going to be awesome. I was at that
charity game, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. Because Drew, the way, and they sell the tickets in a similar way.
Split in half.
It is literally like it looks all,
for the most part,
black and gold on one side, all red and blue on the other. And the chants feel like they're like mimicking each other.
It should be.
It was a fun atmosphere when they did it. So I assume the atmosphere will be great.
That's the part that I'm like, this is where you're intrigued to go because of that right there.
Yeah. The reason why you go to live sports, atmosphere. It's not as much fun to go to a sport when it's, it's an A's game and there's 6,000 people there in a minor league park. Doesn't seem as cool anymore.
All right, coming up next, we get to the 11 o'clock hour, FIFA World Cup 2026 draw day. We're going to find out who's playing in the same group.
with the United States. We'll get a little more insight on groups E, F, and J. That's relevant because those are the groups that could have matches in Kansas City starting on June the 16th of next year. We'll go out there live. We'll also check in with Dusty Likens. He's at P&L for the watch party. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.